Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 to verse 26. Are we living in the Spirit? Is the question for our consideration this morning. What is the difference between living in the Spirit and living in the light? Living in the light is to live a life in accordance to the teaching of God's holy word. Living in the Spirit is a life that is lived with the power of the Spirit of God, aiding us, helping us. We live in the spiritual realm. There are only two ways to live on earth. It is either we live in the Spirit or we live in the flesh. There is no half measures. Whenever a child of God who is truly born again, who is supposed to live in the Spirit, where the Spirit of God guides him, where he loves all spiritual things, he loves to be with spiritual people. And if he decides to live in the flesh, the Bible describes him as someone who has gone wayward. Backslided is how the Bible describes him. And he will not have peace in his heart. He will be vexed in his spirit. And the Lord promised us, because he loved this person, this child who has now strayed away, who is now being vexed daily, the Lord will chastise and bring this person back unto himself, just as he did so to his servant Lot, who had the Holy Spirit in him, but he was vexed daily, as the Bible says, day by day. He woke up, the Spirit of God kept on convicting him to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He refused. And he had no peace until the Lord sent and destroyed everything that his life spent building up in Sodom. All of them were gone by fire and brimstone. And the Lord literally had to drag him, his wife and his two daughters who were virgins. His married daughters were all gone. They did not believe him and they perished in Sodom and Gomorrah. And literally the Lord had to drag him out. But the punishment was everything that he worked hard for, that he poured in his heart and soul, all that was on this earth, that he did not have the conviction of heart and the strength of spirit to leave on his own. When the Spirit of God convicted him and brought about vexation of spirit, all he needed was to voluntarily, on his own, obey the Spirit of God and to walk out with whatever he could sell and get out, whatever material belongings that was his before he entered Sodom and Gomorrah, and make a life for himself in that city of sin. He had a lot. That was one of the reasons why Abraham and his servants and Lot and his servants could not dwell together in peace, because the land was too small. He could have voluntarily walked out with whatever he could get out and bring with him, but instead he lost it all. This was recorded for us as a warning, as a lesson, that when God's children, who are truly born again with the indwelling of the Spirit of God in them and do not want to walk in the Spirit, they will have no peace. But on the other hand, if you have peace in your heart walking in the flesh, you are not born again. That is what the Bible says very clearly. Because the Spirit of God inside your heart will never give you the peace. Impossible. Because salvation is the work of God. The life of a Christian in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness, according to the Scriptures, is from the strength and the indwelling of the Spirit of God, who has transformed us from inside out and changed us. And that is why this question, are we living in the Spirit, is taken from verse 25, is what the Apostle Paul wanted the Christians in Galatia to realize and to understand how important it is, as one of the clearest evidence of someone who is truly born again, because these churches were under assault by the false teachers, saying to them that you are not born again, your salvation is not complete until you are circumcised. You cannot be called the people of God if you are not circumcised. And so Paul says, if you bear the fruit of the Spirit, if you live in the Spirit, You are already born again. You are already a child of God. And therefore, do not listen to these false teachers who are now trying to take away the truth from your heart and from your life, from the gospel that you have believed in. Look at your life. Look at how you have been changed from inside out, because the Spirit of God is the one that is leading you, guiding you, helping you. And your life, no matter how much you are in the world, will not be of the world. And that's how verse 24 describes, and they that are Christ, a person who walk in the Spirit, he knows he belongs to Christ. He has a new master. The one that he wants to please is Christ. The one whom he now belongs to is no longer the God of this world. It is now the Lord himself. And the voice that he hears is the Lord himself. He can't help it. That's why he loves God's word, because the word of the Bible, that is the word of God, can be summarized in two words: Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of Christ from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Why do you think the Lord says to us, my sheep hears my voice? That is how the Spirit of God who lives in us help us to realize the voice that was once alien, a voice that you once despised, that is the voice of Christ. When someone tells you about Christ, when someone tells you about the Word of God, you hated that word. You do not want the name Jesus Christ to be uttered. You see this in the world today. They don't mind even hearing the word God. But somehow, the moment you narrow this God to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one living and true God, there will be a lot of people who will attack you. They hate that word, Jesus. They just don't like it at all. Why? Because that is the name that destroyed the devil, destroyed his works in your life. And that's why all those who follow the God of this world will hate that name. And that's why it is so important for us to know that name and to promote that name correctly. And living in the Spirit is the way to do it. Not by your own strength, by the Spirit. You try to go by your own strength, you're not going to last. Some of you may have very strong willpower. It may even last for 10 years, even 20 years. But in time to come, it will be revealed. There will come crunch time. Something or someone in your life that you're going to have to decide whether you love that thing or that person more than Christ, whereby you are prepared to disobey the word of God, even though you know in your heart the Spirit of God convicts you that the right way is to follow the word of God, but that will mean displeasing that person and yourself, because the thing that you like is now going to be pushed away. You're going to lose that. But are you going to listen to the voice of the Spirit? Lot did not, but the Lord loved him, and the Lord destroyed it in his lifetime before he dies, and he will have nothing left. But because the Lord took him out, whatever years he had left, we do not know. But it was out of Sodom, the affliction gone. The Lord showed mercy. The Lord could have just simply let Lot live the rest of his life. And what will he have at the end? Nothing to show. But the Lord was merciful. Living in the Spirit is not an option. It is one of the clearest evidence of someone who is truly born again, because the alternative is living in the flesh. Living in the flesh is what the Bible describes, one of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that is wantonness. The flesh controls you. That's wantonness. Whatever the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes dictates, and the pride of life whereby you are always right, that's what you think. Not teachable. Very defensive. When someone tries to correct you, cannot do so. Cannot penetrate into your pride. Won't listen. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, that's jealousy, wrath, strife, contentious, seditious, that means full of dissension, create problems, heresies, wrong teachings, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and many such things. This is the short list of the life that is lived in the flesh. That is why, as a child of God, The moment you know that these are the things that is in your life, you get rid of it, because the Spirit of God will convict you. And you will have the Spirit of God guiding you to the very end until you finish the race victorious. Because the Spirit of God is the one empowering you, guiding you, helping you, filling your mind, causing you to lean upon Him and not on yourself because you pray. Prayer is another key evidence of a person who is living in the Spirit. Why do people don't want to pray? Why do people so afraid of coming to prayer meeting? It's spiritual. It's a spiritual struggle and warfare. We all know that because we all have experienced what you're experiencing. The reluctance to come for prayer meeting is more than just an inconvenience. It's a spiritual struggle. First and foremost, of course, you don't go by the Spirit's leading and prompting, you go by your own strength. And when you go by your own strength, the desire to attend is not there at all. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you will have this desire first. But just because you have the desire doesn't mean that everything will be fine. You still have now got to make it your priority, and there will be a lot of other things that will come in the way to try to dissuade you and discourage you so that you will not submit to the desire and conviction of the Spirit of God. And sometimes you will be victorious and other times you will not. And then you will capitulate. And the devil will win that battle on that Tuesday evening. And then you have another Tuesday evening. And then you fight the battle again. And then again. And then again. For how long? Until the Lord takes you home. It's a spiritual battle all the time. And then when you come, praying out loud is a very nervous exercise. There are some who have started and they share with us how nervous they were. And now they've been coming regularly. I can hear from the way they prayed. They are now a little bit more relaxed. And from the prayer, you can see how they have matured and grown, because how they pray and what they pray for are so different from the first time when they prayed. A spiritual warfare. The one who is living in the Spirit knows that he belongs to Christ. And the old man, the flesh, has been crucified. No longer will he possess the sinful nature. He now has a new nature. Christ nature. God nature. The Spirit nature. And so he now lives in the flesh with the help and strength and the empowering of the Spirit of God guiding him, because the old man has been put to death. That's what happens when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. When Jesus Christ was identified by you together with him, when you truly cry to God on the day of your salvation, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. I identify myself with him. He died on the cross for my sin. That's what it means. He died on the cross for my sin means you were crucified with Christ. And therefore, when Christ died, you died. Which part of you died? The sinful nature. The old man has been put to death when Christ died. Together with all the affections and the lusts, the affections would be that which causes you to come under bondage. It comes from the root word which means suffering. This word, affections. The lusts that we endured, we succumbed to as the old man. Has it not caused enough suffering in our lives? You read about so many people, because of addiction, has ruined their lives. People gamble, they got themselves into great debt they could not pay. And this man was publicly humiliated by his wife because he owes so much money. And the wife called him useless and worthless and so on. And he got so angry, strangled her and strangled the daughter as well. Burned their bodies. Turned on the air conditioner to delay the decomposition, and still found out after 8 days. Caused so many sufferings in our lives, these affections that are controlled and cause us to become its slaves. Are you under addiction? It is a very dangerous thing when you do not have temperance, self-control. Every child of God must have self-control. You play computer games, I was told, under temperance. Why did you not mention computer games? I mentioned it before, and some of you did not like it. Should it be repeated? Should we have to say it some more? Because some of you are still under addiction. prepared to stay up to the wee hours of the morning, playing computer games or whatever, activities. Why don't you stay wee hours of the morning together in prayer and fasting? Why don't you do that? Instead of staying up wee hours in the morning in computer, has the old man not been crucified with Christ, put to death? Is that the Spirit of God leading you to stay up wee hours in the morning to play computer games? Why don't you convert that into fasting and prayer and pray for yourselves and pray for the church? Pray for the healing of our souls more than just the healing of our physical bodies. Sometimes we pray for the physical body's healing. Why? Why do you want to get better? Why is this body so important and we neglect our soul? How often have you been asked by someone, please pray for the healing of my soul? We have so many people asking us to pray for this part of the body, that part of the body. But seldom do we hear people say, pray for the healing of my soul, my walk with the Lord, my struggle with prayer, my struggle with understanding God's word, in loving Him more and more every day of my life. Pray for the healing of my soul. The Spirit of God, when we live in His light, in Him, isn't that what should fill our being and our mind and our desires? You want to be healed physically. To what end? To what purpose? Is it to help you become a better servant of God? If it's not going to be a better servant of God, why do you want healing? Do you not know that heaven is a far better place than on earth? If you want to enjoy life, heaven is a far better place to enjoy your life. Free from all the ills and the problems and the troubles of this life. But if you want to be healed so that you can serve the Lord more effectively, serve the Lord better, by all means, this is a very high spiritual, singular, holy purpose. But if it's just simply to be healed physically, to extend your life here on earth, to enjoy the life on earth, then you have missed the point of why you are left behind after salvation. Isn't that true? We pray for our unsaved loved ones to be healed. Fine. But if it is not for salvation, they get healed, they continue to commit more sins. You know that, right? You have to pray that the Lord will save them, save their soul rather than heal their body. Pray that the Lord may use the sickness to humble them to submission to the sound of the gospel and to know the reality of the mortality through the sickness, that they might come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior rather than just simply to pray that they will get healed physically so that they can sin some more. Very often we want them to be healed physically because we can't bear to lose them. Our spouses, our children, who are now wayward. Isn't that a very self-centered and selfish prayer? Not even for them, for ourselves, we can't bear. But can you bear to separate from them when they die in sin and end up in hell? Isn't that far worse than the temporal separation on earth? Isn't therefore more important for us to pray that the Lord, instead of healing them physically, but to heal them spiritually, to heal their soul of sin that has diseased them all these years, that have made them to become followers of the flesh, indulging in all the many sins that continue to destroy their lives, the affections as well as the lusts, the desires. Crucify, put to death. And that is why, as a person who is a Christian, living in the Spirit, because we know that we have a new Savior, a new Lord, a new Master, and His voice is the voice that we must follow and hear all the time. And reading the Bible cannot be by your own strength. It has to be with the help of the Spirit. And that's why prayer comes in. Pray. Pray means, Lord, I cannot take one step without your help. Why do you think the Lord said, pray without ceasing? Every step you take in this world is a dangerous world. The devil's world is a dangerous world whose attempt is to destroy your holy witness. So do not think that you can do it alone. Why do you think the Lord says, pray without ceasing? Don't ever, ever stop leaning upon me. If you live in the Spirit of God must be the one to guide you, to help you, to strengthen you, to convict you, to fill you. Otherwise, all your desires and all your promises to God in holiness will not lust. Our physical willpower is not strong enough. It will not last. It will succumb to the stress, the strain, the challenges, and the problems. Spiritual battle. We need the Spirit of God to help us. And that's why living in the Spirit means pleading with the Spirit of God to help us in obeying the Scriptures, in living in holiness, in exercising long-suffering, in exercising gentleness, goodness, and faith, and love, and joy, and peace. The Spirit of God is the one who enables us to express all these things in meekness and in temperance. We live in a world of great seduction and temptation with many, many responsibilities, and sometimes we struggle to know how to balance everything. I'd like to share with you the testimony of this man called John Wanamaker. He lived in the early 20th century and was born at the tail end of the 19th century. He was a religious, civic, political figure. Very rich man, supposed to be the one who came up with this very common practice in many American companies. One price and goods returnable. He was the one who started it. Very rich man, multi-millionaire. And so someone asked him, he was also a godly Christian, how do you get time to run a Sunday school with your 4,000 scholars? He managed a Sunday school with 4,000 Sunday school teachers. Imagine that. In addition to the business of your stores, your work as Postmaster General and other obligations. Instantly, Mr. Wanamaker replied, why? The Sunday school is my business. All other things are just things. The only thing that matters is his life. He has so many other responsibilities. The only thing that matters was the spiritual. Everything else, to him, they are just simply things. So that was his only focus. 45 years ago, I decided that God's promise was sure. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This cannot be kept by man's willpower. It is by the Spirit of God. Do not allow the attractions and the seduction of the world in all phases of your life to grip your heart, to occupy your mind, whereby you stop thinking spiritually and you begin to think as a man living in the flesh and not in the Spirit. As a student, the Spirit of God guides you. You seek first God's kingdom. And so you study hard to the praise of God in honesty, in diligence, not to please any teacher, not to get any awards. And your focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you pray before you lift up your pen, before you write a single word. And then through your study life, you enjoy the blessing and the benefit of a close walk with a Savior. And then when you finish your study life, you enter into the working life. A new challenge, new problems and new struggles, many, many times worse than a study life. Because additional responsibilities will follow with adulthood. And then you continue to pray, but this time in a new dimension, because the challenges are not just a failure on a piece of paper, now it's about life. And so you continue to pray. It's a struggle again. And so you pray without ceasing, leaning upon the Lord to guide you, because all things spiritual must be your singular focus, and all the rest are just simply things. Like what Wanamaker shared. My job, just thing. The people that I work with, they are precious. The company, they're just things. Just things. Not important. But the people are. So I must be in holiness. And I can't do it alone without the Lord's help. And so you pray every day before you enter into your company, into your office. Pray that this day will be a day of victory. Pray that this day will not be a day of stumbling, that you will be careful with your words. You'll be careful with your actions. Praying for the Spirit of God to guide you and to help you. And then you finish this day. Sure, there will be bumps, there will be humps where you stumble, but you repent. You apologize. Because that's what the Spirit of God will convict you to do. And then you pass this day. Most of it, gold, silver, precious stone, a little bit of it, wood, hay, and stubble. And then the next day will come again. And then the challenge comes again. And then you pray again for the Spirit of God to guide you and to help you, because yesterday was another battle. Whatever victory you had yesterday will not help today if you stop leaning upon the Spirit of God. Stop living in the Spirit. Because now you belong to Christ. And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, for how long? Until the Lord says, this is the last day. And this is the day when you wake up, you will come home by the end of the day. And that's where the battle ends. You are now home with God, your Lord and your Savior. And you now live in the Spirit, in the spiritual realm, in holiness, in godliness only. No more this tension, because you're no longer living in the Spirit, in the devil's domain, in the battlefield. You are now home. You have been victorious. Well done, my good and faithful servant, will be the words of your Savior ringing in your ears, bubbling in your heart, that you have passed the most important exam of your life, the life of holiness, from the day of salvation to the end, when you stand before your Lord. Now that is the life of the Spirit. Living in the Spirit, you cannot do what is right according to the Bible, even though you know the Bible well, by leaning on strength of man. You will fail. It is the Spirit of God that will propel us and compel us. I will not forget the first day when we had our church Bible study. So many came, 400 or 500. But what happened? Why is it that so few have stickability, perseverance to the very end? What happened? Is the thirst for the Word of God just simply gone cold? Or was it just simply a flash from the very beginning? When you go in the direction of spiritual things with man's strength and willpower, this is the result. A flash in the pan, a moment of brightness, and then it's gone. It's not the light of Christ's glory that sustained itself. Because the person who walks and lives in the Spirit is like the light that continues to sustain itself. It's not like the kind of spark that you get. You know the kind of spark that is very bright that you click when you switch on your oven? Very bright, just for the moment. All the light just shine there for the moment to light the gas, and then that's it. It's not the continuous ray of the sun that keeps on burning. That is the life of a person who is living in the Spirit. And you can see this. You can see those who have been in church for 20, 30 years, and now they turn their back on that which is righteous and holy. What happened? Where did they go wrong? Do you not see? Do you not see what happened to them? Do you want the same result in your life? Or do you want to have an alternative whereby walking in the Spirit, because I belong to Christ, I have a new Lord, a new Master, and therefore I listen to a new voice, no longer the voice of the flesh, the voice of the God of this world. And therefore, because you have a new Lord, new Master, you must have a new conduct. Because a person who lives in the Spirit will walk in the Spirit. Because he keeps on living in the Spirit, therefore he will keep on walking in the Spirit. And his life will never be the same. He can't help himself, because this is the new man in Christ Jesus. Hudson Taylor said this: if your father and mother, your sister and brother, if the very cat and dog in the house are not happier for your being a Christian, it is a question whether you really are. Isn't that true? Because you are now a child of God, everyone, everything around you will have to be different, because you are different. And because you are different, everything that you impact around you will be different. And Hudson Taylor, as a missionary to China, he had seen enough. True believers and false believers. And what he said is not just theoretical. It is by way of pure, correct observation. Because they are so easy for people to simply, I say I'm a Christian, therefore you're a Christian. So easy for people to say that. But the Bible says a person who is a Christian has the Spirit of God living in him, propelling him, energizing him, controlling his life. And when that happens, everyone, everything around him will be affected, impacted, changed forever. You can't help it. That's the way you are supposed to do. That is the way of a Christian. That is supposed to happen. That is the natural course of a believer's impact, a child of God living on this earth. That is the natural or supernatural outcome. And if it is not so, what Hudson Taylor observed is very true. Wilbur Chapman, Dr. Wilbur Chapman, a theologian, had this which he called, my rule for Christian living, the rule that governs my life is this, anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. This simple rule may help you find a safe road for your feet along life's road. Very true. Anything that dims your love for Christ, anything that dims your love for the Bible and for prayer and for fellowship with fellow Christians, you've got to get rid of it. It is going to destroy you and hurt you. It is the life of the flesh. And you've got to get rid of it. Because it has dim, that's the key, dim. It may not have caused it to die yet. It just simply dims it. And if you don't stop it there, it's going to get darker and darker and your heart will get colder and colder, and don't let it turn to ice. Because if you're truly born again, your life of vexation will have begun. And if you're truly born again, the Lord will chastise you. You don't want the Lord to chastise you. You look at all the examples in the Bible where the Lord himself chastises directly. It is always very, very fearsome. When the Lord directly chastised Miriam and Aaron who challenged Moses' leadership, straight away when the Lord came in and intervened and he pronounced his judgment, there was no back talk or for Miriam and Aaron to state their case. The Lord just came, appeared, judged, disappeared. And straight away after he disappeared, Miriam was struck down by leprosy. And the leprosy started to spread all over her body rapidly. It's not supposed to be so fast. Leprosy is a very slow disease that will kill your nerves and then your flesh will drop off. It's a very slow death. In the case of Miriam, very soon half her body was leprous. And so Aaron went straight away to Moses and pleaded with him to beg God for mercy to heal her. And the Lord directly came to judge the world in Noah's time. Global flood. And the Lord directly came to judge Korah and his followers and 250 princes who challenged the Aaronic priesthood. The earth opened up and swallowed them and the whole families. Account after account of the Lord's direct judgment. Why is it so hard for us to voluntarily turn back in humble repentance to the Lord on our own? Realize and be convicted by the word of God and come back and turn away from the world and face Christ and walk toward him once more. On your own, willingly, as a child of God, now come back in obedience and constrained by your love for him and his love for you. Will you not do that? The life of a Christian, when you walk in the Spirit, it will never, never be the same again for everyone around you. I'm sure you and I know that the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. At a meeting of some young people, they were discussing the text, ye are the salt of the earth. One suggestion after another was made as to the meaning of the salt in this verse. Someone said, salt imparts a desirable flavor. It gives flavor to a person's life. Salt preserves from decay. These are the two usual understanding of what we call salt. And you are right, you are not wrong. And then a Chinese Christian girl spoke out of an experience none of the others had. Salt creates thirst, she said. And there was a sudden hush in the room. Everyone was thinking, have I ever made anyone thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you? When they look at your life, have they ever said to you, I want your life. Show me how I can have your life of holiness. I look at you, how you behave at work. When we all get chastised and we all struggle with problems, you react differently. You are not flustered. You continue to maintain your disposition of calmness and peace. And your ethics and your morality is not like the rest of us. Can you show me this life? Have you ever had someone approach you and ask you about this in your time of service for the Lord? As a student in school, Have any of your classmates say that about you? When you go to work and you've been working there for 10, 20 years and the people have been observing you, have they ever asked, have anyone ever asked you during lunchtime and say to you, can I have a private word with you? You do not know what it's all about. And then the person say to you, I've been observing you all these past few years. You are different. Can you share with me how you are so different from all of us? Salt creates thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in the Spirit is a life that impacts everyone around you, because that's exactly how God has planned it for all His children. Living in a world of darkness when the light of Christ shines. What do you think will happen to the darkness? The darkness is pushed out. It disappears. That's the nature of light. The spiritual darkness in the company is gone because of you. The spiritual darkness in your classroom is gone. In your home is gone because of you. The Spirit of God will help you. That's what living in the Spirit will empower us to do and to become. We listen to the voice of our Savior, and the Spirit of God will give us the strength and the conviction and the perseverance to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know, our labor in Christ Jesus is not in vain. And you will keep on doing it. And the people around you will see the difference. Because the difference is stark. Light and darkness. That's how stark it is. When the light shines, the darkness goes. When you enter, the darkness in the lives of all these people will change. Their conversation will change. Their conduct will change. Their way of doing business will change because of you. Because of what you say. The wisdom that the Lord has given to you. The Spirit of God that compels you. That gives you the courage to not only know what to say, but to say it in the right way, in the right tone, in gentleness, in goodness, in faith, in meekness. The way that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego impacted the Babylonian Empire in a way that crossed into the Persian Empire, so much so that when the Persian Empire destroyed the Babylonian Empire, Daniel was made first president, even though he was not part of the Persian Empire. But because of his wisdom and the impact that he had everywhere, even the Persians recognized this man was unusual and made him president number one in his new empire to oversee his vast Persian empire. Impact for Christ. And as long as you focus like Wanamaker, spiritual, all the rest are just things. Don't forget that. Impacting for Christ. That which you focus, make sure it is healthy, the rest will fall into place. Do you want to focus on your health? Focus on the spiritual health. And then the physical health will fall into place on its own. We focus so much on our physical that we neglect and forget our spiritual. We eat very well physically. We exercise physically very well. We take all kinds of vitamins for our physical. We make sure that we do not eat so much cholesterol because it's bad for health, man says. We don't eat so much of this food, man says. We listen so much to what man says concerning our physical well-being, but we neglect what God says concerning our spiritual well-being, not knowing that when our spiritual body is healthy and good and strong, everything else will fall into its proper order. Wrong focus, wrong emphasis, bad testimony, bad result. You focus on your children's spiritual well-being, their school exam and their results will take care of itself. Guarantee. Who guarantees? God guarantees. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8. God guarantees. Because you are a child of God. And your children are supposed to be children of God, supposed to see Christ in you. God promised us, Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what He's promised. You believe? Walk by the Spirit, you will do it. Not only will you do it at the beginning, it's not going to be a flash in the pan. It is a continuous daily walk to the very end of the line, the race. New master, you have a new life, a new conduct. walking in the Spirit, because you are now living in the Spirit and the Spirit of God will propel you. And verse 26, finally, you are a new person. That's the word be. Let us not be. That is a verb in itself. A new being. A new being. No longer desirous of vainglory. You want to promote only Christ because you only hear His voice and everything you do is Christ. And therefore, why should you want to be proud of yourself? Why do you want to promote yourself? No reason. The ones who promote himself are the ones who do not follow Christ. The worst thing is, if you follow Christ in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity, and then you want a vainglory, that is the worst. That kind of conduct and behavior is the worst kind. Claim to follow Christ. Claim to be a servant of Christ. And then actually, in reality, you want a vainglory. That's what you desire. You want to promote self. Why the Apostle Paul warns the elders in the church of Ephesus, when he called them, believing that this would be the last time he will speak with them before he went to prison in Rome. Two kinds of enemies will come. Outside, grievous wolves, burdensome wolves. They are going to put burdens into your life if you are not careful. When our children marry unbelievers, that person that our child wants to marry is now a burden. And that burden is now going to impact and infect every one of us. Do you realize that? If my child wants to marry an unbeliever, you know it is wrong. And now you receive an invitation from me. So now it becomes your burden too. Should go or should not go? You go because you want to please me. And you say, don't want to go, you're going to hurt me. But if I don't give you the invitation, no burden. But now the burden is not just mine, it's yours as well, right? So what are you going to do? You want to attend? What are you going to say? Congratulations? What's there to congratulate? That person purposely marries an unbeliever, contradicting the clear teaching of God's word. You are now basically saying that Christ and Belial, they can have concord and fellowship. When the Bible says they can never have fellowship, Christ and the devil, they never, never have any agreement, never any fellowship. But now this person who called himself a Christian wants to marry an unbeliever, that is from outside. And they kept coming in. And then from within, men will draw other men unto themselves. That means shift your loyalty away from Christ to himself. Dangerous, that's vainglory. A person who is in Christ, living in the Spirit, know that he belongs to Christ. He has a new testimony, a new life, because he has a new being. He is a new person. And therefore, he will not desire vainglory. And whenever he ever stumble and fall and desire to do so, he will be convicted and he will repent. He will not provoke one another unto envying and jealousy, causing troubles and problems in the church and in other people's lives. He will never do that. Because he is a new being, a new person in Christ. Because he lives in the Spirit's light, strength, and guidance. Before the Lord destroyed Israel, the Lord gave to Isaiah these words. Isaiah 29, verse 11. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which man delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? God is living. Israel wanted to hide from God and the book was open to them. They said, I don't understand. That is the problem. They were not born again. And what did God do? Destroy them by the Assyrians. They were destroyed. Are we simply paying God lip service? But God said their heart was far from me. Did they bring their offerings? Plenty. But their heart was far from me. Did they praise me with their words? But their heart was far from me. God was very, very concerned with our heart because the heart is the beginning of our being. Who we really are is exactly what our heart is made of. Our heart. How is your heart? What is your heart like? A lot of Christians are like wheelbarrows, not good unless pushed. Some are like canoes, they needed to be paddled. Some are like kites, if you don't keep a string on them, they fly away. Some are like kittens, they are more contented when petted. Some are like a football, you can't tell which way they will bounce next. Some are like balloons full of wind and ready to blow up. Some are like trailers, they have to be pulled. Some are like lights, they keep going on and off. There are those who always seek to let the Holy Spirit lead them. Which are you? A wheelbarrow must be pushed before you move. Canoes must be paddled, otherwise you stay still. Kite must be held down or else you will fly away. Let the world grip your heart. Or you like kittens, never contented but always wanted to be petted, to be praised before you do anything. A football, do not know what you're going to bounce next, where you're going to go. One moment here, next moment disappear. Balloons full of wind, hot air, ready to blow up. Trailers need to be pulled or lights on and off. But are you one who is led by the Spirit? Leading you, guiding you, helping you, spurring you on. We live in a world of great compromise. To be a Christian nowadays is no different from being a non-Christian because the standard of holiness is so low. And whenever people come and listen to the Word of God, they find, oh, the standard is so high. We don't like this kind of life. We like to be a Christian where I can do whatever is right in my own eyes. That kind of Christianity I like. And so I want to be a Christian, but please let me drink. I want to be a Christian, but please let me gamble. I want to be a Christian, but please let me smoke. I want to be a Christian, but please let me go by my own standard and my own way. Whenever I'm convenient, I will do this and I will do that. But when I'm not convenient, when I'm not free, when I have other things to do, please let me be. This is the way of Christianity today. Is it not? And I hope that it's not our Christianity. That it's not your Christianity in your heart. Because a person who is in Christ, he lives in the Spirit. And therefore he walks in the Spirit with the Spirit's guidance and with the Spirit's help. Because he is a new being in Christ. That is who he is. Living the life of holiness is the norm for every Christian. Not a low standard or a high standard, the only standard. No other alternative. That's what holiness is. That's what a citizen of heaven is like. Spurgeon says this, strict walking is much despised in these days. But rest assured, it is both the safest and the happiest. He who yields a point or two to the world is in fearful peril. He who eats the grapes of Sodom will soon drink the wine of Gomorrah. How true. How true. Live in the Spirit because the Spirit lives in you. Is there any alternative? Yes, the other alternative is to live in the flesh because the sinful nature lives in you. You are not born again. How could a child of God not want to live like his Heavenly Father in holiness? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty is the constant eternal refrain in heaven. That means when you arrive home in heaven, the first song you're going to hear would be the refrain of the angels. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty And if you find holiness, according to scriptures, offensive, you will be offended non-stop in heaven. Will you go up to heaven and tell the angels, stop singing, stop it, enough, I can't stand it anymore? Would you dare to say that? Only holy people can enter heaven. If holiness is offensive to you, you find living the life of holiness, living in holiness, a problem. Please, are you truly born again in Christ? Or have you been deceived? The worst kind of believer is a person who called himself a Christian, and then he lives in sin and tells people that this is the Christ of the Bible, a Christ who is only in name, but a Christ who is not in holiness, but in sin. Is this not how many people live today? Is this not worse than sinning of an unbeliever who called Christ just a man? He's a nobody. And so he rejects Christ. He never wants to have anything to do with Christ. And then he lives a life of sin. In contrast to a professing believer who called himself a Christian, who called himself a follower of Christ, who said that he belongs to Christ, but he lives in sin and in the flesh and in carnality. Is this not like crowning on Christ's head all over again with thorns? And is this not the sharpest of the thorns that we would crown on Christ's head? By mocking him, by making him into a carnal Christ. The crown of thorns he wore to take away our sins, our punishment he bore. But when we call ourselves Christians and hate holiness and live in sin and not allow the Spirit of God to guide us, to help us, and not to live in the Spirit but to live in the flesh, what a crown of thorns we put on Christ's head all over again and hurt him and let him bleed as we walk around thinking that all is well with our souls, when in reality we are so sick in our souls. Are we living in the Spirit? All of us need to answer this question before the Lord, honestly, for our sake. I need to too, in my own life. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning as we look back on our life as a Christian from the day that we walk with Thee in confession to have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior till today. For some of us, it was only a few months ago, but for many of us, many years have come and gone. But our life, as we reflect upon it, how sad and how tragic, when most of it is made up of wood, hay, and stubble, and we lack so much of the fruit of the Spirit, especially the virtue of temperance, and we have allowed the flesh to continue to control because of the addictions that we allow our body to succumb to. Forgive us, cleanse us, and grant us the strength and the conviction of heart, O Lord, to live in the Spirit, because we belong to Christ, and therefore we must walk in the Spirit, because we are a new being in Christ. O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and speak to us that this life that we live will never be the same again, and this will be seen by the way that we impact everyone around us, so that they will truly see the Christ of the Bible. When they listen to our words, when they scrutinize and examine our lives, they will only see the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O God. Help us to live in the Spirit and no more in the flesh, because we are truly Your children. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.